Nick. Behind schedule and behind the times. That's our new tagline. It is October 27th, 2017, and I've made a huge mistake promising to do this. What the heck? I forgot that this is the time of year where I wake up and my entire throat is dry and I can't speak. I don't know what it is. Could be the air. Could be the mold. That black mold growing from the roof down into my lungs while I sleep. So it is 6 a.m., and if you look outside, you can't see anything because it's dark. Now, that's going to change soon. So for you international listeners, News with Nick's time will actually change when the Americans go, actually, we're going to be changing the clocks. Now, I'm not a weirdo who goes, wow, stupid government, you're changing the clocks? Thanks a lot, stupid government. I'm like, okay, whatever. I guess we're changing the clock. Like, life would be so boring if you didn't change the clocks from now. I'm for changing the clocks 1 hour and 17 minutes just to make it more interesting. But yeah, so I don't know. How many countries don't have daylight savings? Does Europe have daylight? I thought Europe was a. Does Europe have daylight savings? Most areas in North America and Europe and some areas in the Middle East observe daylight savings time. Ah, they observe it. Oh, say does daylight savings. All right, welcome video viewers to the thing. I just started the recording and we were just checking out if Europe had daylight savings time, and we don't know. But if you are international and you don't have it, whenever America changes the clocks, News with Nick will change times, I suppose, since we do it at 6. What's the chat saying? We do, but it's a week or two off from when you start and stop. Isn't that funny how internationally you have to know when America does daylight savings, but if you're in America, you're like, well, I don't know. Everyone else do something. Do what we do. Or don't, but pay attention to what we do. Who knows? All right, in the news, 2,800 JFK assassination files have been released, others withheld. Trump delays the release of hundreds of remaining JFK assassination documents bowing to national security concerns. Oh, it's nothing. President Trump delayed on Thursday evening the release of hundreds of classified documents related to the JFK assassination, bowing to pressure from the CIA, the FBI, and other federal agencies still seeking to keep some final secrets from the nearly 54-year-old investigation. The president allowed the immediate release of 2,800 records by the National Archives, allowing a last-minute scramble to meet a 25-year legal deadline. Okay, so it's like, well, if it was legal deadline, how did they not release some? Basically, 25 years ago, they were like, here's a law. We want to be able to learn about JFK's assassination and if it was a conspiracy. Okay, so in 25 years from this law passing, you have to release all of the documents unless you don't feel like it.
It's the law saying today all the documents have to be released. Yesterday the president tweets they will all be released. Today, all of a sudden, the last few hours, they decide, you know what, they're not all going to be released. It's pretty extraordinary.
I don't think it's just extraordinary. I think it's shameful. I this is something the intelligence community has not years, but decades to deal with. And, this instinctive desire to keep things secret is so ingrained that even relating to events in the early 1960s, the idea that they can't be released at this point is absurd. And I think it's really disappointing that the agencies are behaving.
Hey, I was actually surprised that guy put the blame on the CIA and the FBI, not on Trump. A lot of people have been going, oh my goodness, of course Trump would want to release all these documents. It takes the attention off of blah, blah, blah. His Russian investigation, right? And then I'm thinking, but he didn't set this deadline. So what should he do? Block them? And then he blocks them. And people are like, oh, of course Trump would block them. Whatever. I hate it. Well, anyway, if you want to read them, they're over at archives.org. And I don't know if it's on the front page, but Let's click into a file randomly here. So if you go to page 15 and here's a PDF. It's created November 28th, 1961. Ooh, that's before the thing. The file is advised by Return Airtel whether LA4350C has been recontacted concerning captioned matter and date lettered memorandum will be forwarded to Bureau. Wow, that's a pretty deep document right there, everyone. So if you want to read all of the documents, they're at archives.gov. Pretty boring. I did read one. It was related to polygraphing, and they had these this lady. I guess it was only one lady. They were doing a lie detector test on her, trying to figure out if she knew anything about the plot. It was like 4 years later. And it was just a really long story about how she went to a party, hung out with this guy, stole $150, and they wanted to videotape her in the nake. But other than that, they're like, doesn't sound like she knew Lee Harvey Oswald. Let's see. The chat says, by the way, what is Alex saying on this topic? AJ is going to have Alex Jones. I don't know. But the documents just got dropped last night, so there's a few. I mean, it doesn't look like it was a whole lot, to be honest. I think some of it was a bunch of documents that were already released, but, like, highlighted black. And they've just released the non-redacted versions of it, which includes people's names and stuff. Anyway, there's that. So that didn't happen. Nobody cares about that. Next story. Oh, yeah. Okay, so we got an update. And so we're flying through these stories here. It's been a couple minutes. Probably not going to be a long day. Like I said, I can't talk. I feel like there's something in my throat. We've got an update from last week. Remember, we had this three-year-old who was like, go outside, and you're going to stand by this tree because you did not drink your milk. Mother under investigation, say police, as the Indian-American dad recants statement and community mourns. The residents of Richardson, Texas, are mourning and angry over the tragic death of three-year-old Sharon Matthews, with many asking why her Indian-American father did not wake his nurse wife when he knew that the toddler was choking on milk and struggling to breathe. Wait a minute, choking on milk? Well, so I guess technically she was punished for not drinking her milk because it wouldn't go down all the way. While the cause of her death was still being probed, the community and neighborhoods all across Texas are shocked, heartbroken, angry, and mourning her death. So they found her body. They were looking around, and they found it in a culvert, right, just a half mile from the house. Like, where can we put this baby? All right. Let's not go very far, because I'm lazy. I'm an old dad. Let's just drop it a half mile away. All these lies. First, punishing the girl and putting her under a tree. Later, choking her in the garage at 3 a.m. for not drinking her milk does not add up. It is heartbreaking and shocking, said a teary-eyed resident. So we don't know what happened. The dad turned himself into the Richardson Police Department on the afternoon of October 23rd. Matthews initially told police on October 7th, that he had put her outside for the milk, blah, blah, blah. When he went to check on her 13 minutes later, she was gone, blah, blah, blah. He recanted his earlier statement when he turned himself in and claimed that Sharon choked on her milk. He admitted to disposing of his daughter's body after her pulse stopped. You cannot die by choking on liquid, right? It doesn't get lodged in your throat. You can be like, I choke, it went in my lungs, right? But, if I drink this coffee, right, I'd be like, oh, it's stuck in my throat, and I guess I die now, right? Clearly, he beat her up, choked her, and he didn't want a retarded baby. That's the problem, right, with these retarded babies. You get one, but even if it was like their foster dad, right? You get one. And you're like, uh-oh, this kid's real annoying. I'm trying to sleep here. And so you choke him, and then you throw him in a culvert, and then you wonder, hey, I wonder if anyone's going to wonder if the kid's missing. They don't really think that far ahead. If you get enough water in your lungs, you can drown. Or milk, the chat says. No, I mean, I get that, but I've never... Please look up a story of any person having drank in water and then died by choking on water. Ah, we got to do the Heimlich to get that water out. No, it's impossible. You can't drown by drinking. Speaking of drinking, you guys ever... So sometimes I'll go to the bar and I'll have a couple, right? And then I'll be like, ooh, I got to get some food. So I go to the store and the store here has these carts. Nick, you're an idiot. Every grocery store has carts. Yeah, no, I know. This one has smaller carts. Nick, you're an idiot. Every store has smaller carts. Probably, you're right. But they seem more robust and more maneuverable, right? So I take this one and I just ride it up and down the aisles. And now, if I tell this story, sometimes people think that I'm talking about those motorized carts for the old people. No, I take one of the small ones and I like get a running start and I'll just ride it down aisles laughing and grabbing stuff off the shelves and everyone thinks I'm an insane person. However, I'm running into a lot of insane people recently. I'm not going out, but I'm seeing a lot more things happening, I feel like. Yesterday, I was in Walmart, right, just getting some socks. And this lady goes, I am going to sue you. You're going to have a lawsuit on your hands because I walked into a fitting room and I slipped on water and I hurt myself. And then the guy who's working there is like, if you slipped on water, why aren't your pants wet? She's like, I slipped. Of course you didn't see me slip. You don't have cameras in there, right? And he's like, all right, I'll get you new socks if you want, if you got your socks wet, but it doesn't look like you slipped. And then that goes on for several minutes. And I really got to be more brave about walking up to these people and recording, although I didn't want to get her all mad, and then what if she starts beating the old worker guy, right? So we didn't want that to happen. But anyway, yeah. Oh, I also got a Nick Ryder tip for you guys. I went to the dentist yesterday, and she was like, oh, you're in pretty good shape. And she said, what's your secret? She didn't say, what's your secret? But she did say, are you flossing more? And I say, haha, I figured out a secret to flossing. If you are a fidgeter, right, you got these fidget spinners and these fidget cubes and these fidget balls and these fidget nuts and these fidget magnets. All you have to do is leave some floss wherever you're sitting and you will automatically accidentally start flossing. No joke. You'll just be like, ah, floss, I'll fidget with this. Psh, peel, psh. Ah, what should I do with this weird string? I'll just put it in my mouth. Now, maybe this only works for people who put extra stuff in their mouth, like me. Like, if I have got something, it goes in my mouth. Sometimes people at work will hand me some really important post-it note, like someone's phone number or like a password or something. I'm like, I'll need that for later. And then 15 minutes later, I'll be like, where? I'll be like, where did that post-it note go? Oh, no. Right? I accidentally eat it. Anyway. All right, so in the first part of the show here, we've got a lot of sad ones. We've got, sorry, if you think dying is sad, we've got a lot of sad ones. I was realizing this as I was compiling the notes, and I was like, ooh, this is bad. So I tried to put them all near the front so I can get them out of the way. Weeks before her death, 16-year-old Jachandra Brown confided in her friend Tyrell Prisbigekin that she wanted to kill herself. When Prisbigekin, 18. What the heck? This guy's name is retarded. Przybycien. Maybe it's pronounced in the video. Let's find out. Please don't be a text video. 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 I'm done. There's no videos anymore. Every video is just a picture with words going. It's probably created by AI. Ah, hey, I am a robot. Okay, give me a picture. Give me some music. Actually, I'll pick the music. I'm a robot. Give me some text. Ah, here's a video. You could put it on your site. Oh, Jesus. Okay, we can't be using this name this whole time. Prisbycusine. All right, we're going to call him Tyrell. Tyrell of Spanish Fork, Utah, admitted... Sorry. When Tyrell, 18, asked another friend what he should do, the friend encouraged him to talk her out of it. So, okay, so the girl says, "Hey, Tyrell, I want to kill myself." And Tyrell goes, "Ooh, I mean, oh no." And then he goes to another friend and goes, "What should we do?" And the other friend goes, "Tell her not to?" And Tyrell goes, "But fine." But then he goes back to her and he's like, he admitted he wanted to help end her life. He says, "It would be awesome. It'd be like getting away with murder." He helped her meticulously plan the suicide and set it in motion. Prosecutors allege in court documents he researched and settled on how he would do it. And on May 5th, he picked the girl up from work, purchased an industrial-strength aerosol air duster and rope for her, and drove her to the site of his choosing. His choosing? The scenic Maple Lake near Payson Canyon, 23 miles down from Provo, Utah. He helped fasten the rope to a tree, ensuring it was tight and high enough. Tyrell would later admit to authorities. He set up a wooden pedestal atop a rock. He tied a noose for her because she didn't know how to do it. Oh my God! Then police say he had later admitted he filmed the grim moments that followed. The girl stepping onto the pedestal, placing the nuke around her neck, inhaling the air duster, which caused her to lose consciousness, and ultimately falling off the platform in a twisting motion. Oh, he continued filming for about 10 minutes. Was it murder? The lawyer, Gregory Stewart, argued that none of his actions directly caused her death. Her putting the noose around her neck, stepping onto the pedestal, and inhaling the compressed air so she passed out and slipped from the pedestal caused her death. These intervening acts, we argue, and not Tyrell's action caused her death. On Tuesday, a judge ruled it was reasonable to infer that Tyrell intended to cause Brown's death, and were it not for his actions, the girl would not have died. The judge on Tuesday ordered him to go to trial on first-degree murder. Wow, first-degree murder. He will also face one misdemeanor count for failing to report a dead body. Oh, okay. If convicted of murder, he faces 15... There was a 16-page ruling. Oh, I didn't get the ruling. He cannot escape criminal responsibility just because the girl apparently wanted to die. The man knew what he was doing, the judge wrote, and took no precautions to prevent the death. Likewise, encouraging and helping to facilitate the suicide of an impressionable minor who could have benefited from support, counseling, or therapy is completely lacking in social value. Man, on April 19th, which is before this happened, he began spending more and more time with her as she told him she was considering suicide. And he texted his friend, "What do you do if a friend is trying to commit suicide?" The friend said, "Talk them out of it." He said, in text, "The thing is, I want to help kill them. It would be awesome. I'm going to help her. It's like getting away with murder. I'm seriously not joking. It's going down in about a week or two." Wait, he messaged someone that? And that person didn't, like, fix it? On the morning of May 6th, a turkey hunter came across her body hanging in a tree by a rope. The air duster can was resting at her feet, beside a receipt showing the purchase of a rope. Under Tyrell's Visa card! What an idiot! A handwritten note was also left near her body, stated her name, and referred any questions to a video captured on her black smartphone, which was also left at the scene. Oh, man. Once they charged the phone, officers watched the 10-minute video, which was later shown in court. At one point in the video, Tyrell's heard saying to Brown, "Thumbs up if you're okay." Oh, my goodness. And he said, "That's when the brain stops getting oxygen." This guy's messed up. He needs to go to jail. I'm so sorry. The chat says, "Where are the parents in all this? They're probably bad." You're 16 and 18. For the most part, you're trusted to, like, be on your own, right? You check in with your parents for dinner. And your parents are supposed to be making sure you're not building bombs in your bedroom. Other than that, you're like, okay, you're 16 or 18. You're going on dates. You're banging constantly. As officer investigating, Tyrell returned to the scene and soon after admitted to his role in the suicide. He told authorities he had an interest in watching someone die and admitted that he got carried away with the idea. He said that he too was suicidal and wanted to watch her die to see if it was something he could go through with himself. He admitted to telling her he would also kill himself. He wanted to retrieve the rope for sentimental value. So he went back to the scene trying to get the rope. But then left. It says they left after checking for a pulse. All right. Well, that's great. Any more information on another page? Ooh, what is this? No, this is just a pop-up. No, well, I mean, I guess if you want to find the ruling, the 16-page ruling on this guy, it might seem like there's more info. I wish I had all the texts with this guy, but it sounds like there was only those couple. Chat says, your parents are supposed to know if you're so miserable that you want to end your life. No. I mean, how are they supposed to know that? If you're a teen, right, and you're like, I'm so sad. Who can I talk to? My parents? No. Doesn't work that way. Sorry. Maybe it should, but it doesn't normally. Maybe it does in non-America. Have you guys ever gone to a highway and you're on a bridge and you look over the bridge and you're like, wow, those cars are going freaking fast. What would happen if I threw a rock or a brick down there and hit one of them? I'd cause like a massive crash. 5 high school students in Michigan are accused of throwing rocks off an overpass and killing a man. Ken White, a 32-year-old father of 4, was riding home last week when a rock hit and killed him. The 5 suspects are 15 to 17 years old. They're all charged with second-degree murder. The teenager who prosecutors believe actually dropped the rock is 17-year-old Kyle Anger. Oh, of course it is! Of course his name's Anger! Anger is being held at the county jail while the rest are in juvenile detention facility. All of them were arraigned Tuesday and are being tried as adults. The 5 teenage defendants were expressionless as their lawyers entered not guilty pleas for them. Their distraught families watched the proceedings, as did the grieving father of Kenneth White. Police say that White, a construction worker, was riding home in a Ford Econoline van around 8:30 p.m. last Wednesday. That's when a 6-pound rock about 5 inches wide and 8 inches long, so 6 pounds. So imagine the lightest bowling ball at the bowling alley. And whenever you pick up the lightest bowling ball, it's like, I feel like I could fling this thing across the room. It's so light. So a 6-pound rock is not that heavy. It was allegedly dropped from an overpass and crashed through the windshield. Apparently hit him in the head. That's not a prank. It's second degree murder. Someone says. Sheriff. Officials say the suspects went to McDonald's after the incident. Of course they did. Investigators say they found at least 20 rocks on Interstate 75, including one that weighed more than 20 pounds. Okay, so they were throwing a ton of rocks over this freaking bridge. There are 2 lawyers that represented the defendants, and they say he's scared. He feels devastated for the victim and the family. I think there's been a public rush to accept that these kids are bad and they're almost animalistic and they should be punished as such. The suspects face up to life in prison, but the victim's father says that's not enough. Even if they spend 30 years in prison, they get to wake up every single morning. They still get phone calls from their parents. They still get visitors. My son didn't get none of that no more. That does suck. So these idiots were throwing things over the overpass, but I don't know how they caught them, right? So it's like, well, they went to McDonald's. Did they turn themselves? Did one of them feel like so guilty? He was like, we were the ones that did the crash. Because it'd be hard to catch someone like that, right? You're just a kid. You're throwing rocks over the thing. If someone crashes, you run. So they're going to court, and they will be on trial soon. We'll try to follow up with that. 3 Weber High School students who were filmed chanting vulgarities and racial slurs in a now-viral video have quit the school's cheerleading squad, according to a source familiar with the Weber cheer program. The source, who requested anonymity, said the students submitted their resignations prior to any action that would have removed them from the squad. So they're in cheerleading. They do this video. Now, we'll take a look at the video in a moment, but everyone is so mad at this video that now they've got to resign from the cheerleading squad. It's just a video of them riding the car. The school district concluded its one-week investigation into the video on Monday with school officials taking, quote, appropriate action, according to the Weber School District. The video gained national attention last week when circulating on social media. In it, five girls identified only as junior and senior students on Friday are shown inside a vehicle taking turns yelling, what are they yelling, into what appears to be a cell phone camera. Now we'll listen to the video. Wow, that was pretty offensive. I can't believe that they were saying that. The teens in the video were yelling, Surgeon Cuff, and then used a social media app to rewind it, making it sound like what it sounded like in this video. I'm an expert at saying things forward and backwards. I don't know if you guys know on YouTube. But so what they did was they started yelling, Surgeon Cuff, Surgeon Cuff, Surgeon Cuff. Oh, nobody reverse this. Now we're going to reverse it. All right. Sorry. And when you reverse it, apparently Surgeon Cuff sounds like the thing that they were chanting. And so they post this, and then everyone goes, oh, look at this. The teens apparently made a 10-second video a year ago while on fall break, and one of the students recently shared it to one of her social media accounts. Taking turns, the teens are yelling, Surgeon Cuff, then use the rewind feature in Instagram. One of the teens who posted the clip commented, Surgeon Cuff, at the bottom. After interviewing the students, they said the group explained that they had just been playing around saying gibberish words and then tried the random phrase which produced the racial slur. However, Finlay said they knew what they were doing. Now, that's pretty impressive if they actually found out that that happened. Like, if they invented Surgeon Cuff? The kids were joking around, and it's unfortunate that they engage in this kind of conduct, but that doesn't excuse it. How does that not excuse it? What? How does that? Like, I don't get it. They're just being funny. They don't have a black person in the back with a noose whipping that person with the noose going, Surgeon Cuff! Surgeon Cuff! In a statement Tuesday, the district wrote that racism, whether intentional or not, racism, whether intentional or not, has no place in our schools or society. How could non-intentional racism not have I don't get it. Like subconscious racism, where you're driving down the street and you see a white and you're like, hello, good sir. And you drive down the street and you see a black and you go, oh, lock the doors, lock the doors, lock the doors. Is that non-intentional racism? Officials have spoken with the teens multiple times, and officials have been very remorseful and apologetic for their actions. Man, they're just stupid kids that played a video. All right, so I'm looking for some reactions, and I found this lady. She's a little dark on the YouTube, and I figured she probably, you know, maybe she'll understand that they were just fooling around saying Surgeon Cuff, right? She probably has a reasonable view.
Nobody that I have ever heard in my entire life says Surgeon Cuff. Surgeon, sturgeon, snurgen, it's not a word. So the fact that they're putting these two words together and then allowing it to be played in reverse, I'm pretty sure they knew what they were doing because they were giggling, they were laughing, hee hee, kikiing. Surgeon Cuff, Surgeon Cuff, Surgeon Cuff. Like,
someone reverse that.
Out of here. People are now saying that they were tricked into saying this. Who in their right mind would be like, hey, I want you and all your...
You could be tricked. Like, if you got your phone, you're like, all right, everyone, if Brett did this, Brett was like, all right, everyone, I've got this new saying, a Surgeon Cuff, and it's like, it's funny inside joke for my show, so I'm just gonna use this camera, and I'm gonna point it at all of you, and you just guys chant Surgeon Cuff for me. It'll be funny, don't worry about it. And then we're going to post it. So you go, Surgeon Cuff, Surgeon Cuff. Yeah, Brett, we're supporting you. And then he reverses it. It's like, look at my friends. Look at what my friends were chanting. Right? You could be tricked into doing that.
your friends to yell Surgencuff and think it's funny and then send it to me. No, what? Who would believe that? If anybody was like, Sherita, I want you to say Snizzles, Frazzle, Spooky Nizzle.
This lady's like puke, just saying random words. Snizzles, Fraggle, shh. Of course they say Izzle a lot in the black community, right? Yo, gonna go to that 7-Elizzle. 7-Eleven?
And send it to me. Wait, why would I say that? That doesn't make any sense. Just send it to me. No, I'm not going to. It's that easy. These girls knew what they were doing before they uploaded it. They knew backwards what this was going to say.
I'm going to skip ahead and see if she says anything funny.
Or hate. Just call it like it is. I don't like black people. That's fine.
What? No. Everyone likes black people, just not ones that are Surgencuffs. Second woman says George H.W. Bush groped her. Earlier this week, actress Heather Lind said in a now-deleted Instagram post that the former president had sexually assaulted her. He touched me from behind from his wheelchair with his wife Barbara Bush by his side. He told me a dirty joke and then, all while being photographed, touched me again. That is not the end of things. Jordana Grolnick, a New York actress, has a story to tell, and she doesn't sound very different at all. I got sent the Heather Lind story by many people this morning, and I'm afraid that mine is entirely similar. Rumors about Bush groping actress in this manner have been circulating for a while. More than a year ago, a tipster posted word about the Heather Lind incident to Deadspin. We were told that Bush had, during a photo op, groped her and told her that his favorite magician was David Copperfield while fondling her. Oh my god! Is that the joke he tells? Hey, want to hear a joke? My favorite magician, David Copperfield. Honk. At age 93, President Bush has been confined to a wheelchair for roughly 5 years, so his arm falls on the lower waist of people with whom he takes pictures. To try to put people at ease, the president routinely tells the same joke. And on occasion, he has patted women's rears in what he intends to be a good-natured manner. Some have seen it as innocent. Others clearly view it as inappropriate. To anyone he has offended, President Bush apologizes most sincerely. So, President George Bush Sr.'s second apology after sex assault claims. Former U.S. President George Bush Sr. has issued a second apology to anyone he has offended after a second allegation of sexual assault has emerged. This is stupid. The actress said that he groped her in 2016 after saying David Copperfield. Another actress, Heather Lind, had already come forward to say that the former president... So the Bush's spokesman came out and said, oh, he's very sorry. He has patted women's rears in what he intended to be good-natured manner. Some have seen it as innocent, and others clearly view it as inappropriate. To anyone he has offended, President Bush apologizes most sincerely. Third woman says she was groped by George H.W. Bush. A third woman said Thursday that she, too, was groped by the former president in 2014. Christina Baker Klein described the incident in a Slate op-ed saying it took place at a Barbara Bush Foundation family literacy fundraiser. He says, you want to know my favorite book? Oh, he forgot the joke. He did it differently. You want to know my favorite book? He recalled Bush telling her as she leaned closer to him for the photo. With she and her husband standing on either side of Bush's wheelchair, President Bush put his arm around me, low on my back. His comic timing was impeccable. David Copperfield. That's not a book. I don't get the joke. You want to know my favorite book? David Copperfield? He said, and squeezed my butt hard, just as the photographer snapped the photo. Instinctively, I swiped his hand away. Klein is the third woman this week to accuse the former president of unwanted touching. Okay, so he is being a little weird if he keeps saying David Copperfield. Because he knows that that's not... He knows that... Whatever. Not that I care, right? Because I'm a man. And how am I supposed to care? So, same thing. To put people at ease, he tells the Copperfield joke and then squeezes their butt. All right. I mean, you're President Bush. Do whatever you want, I suppose. Chat says he's 930 years old. I think he should get away with it. True. I mean, it's not like you should get away with it. But at a certain point, right, you're getting old. Your brain is a little crazy. It's like, okay, if a five-year-old kid walks up to a woman and goes, "Oh, my goodness, those are big squishy pillows." Boo! Like, a five-year-old would not be charged with sexual assault, right? What age could you be charged with sexual assault? That is a good question. 10? If you're 10 and you're a boy and you know what you're doing, sexual assault charged as an adult? Or are you just being a stupid boy, right? 12? Probably 16 for sure. But, I mean, at what point are you just not being a crazy kid? And when you're 93, your brain goes the same way. You're like, first of all, he's telling the same stupid joke. That should be enough, Your Honor. Listen to this joke and how dumb it is. He's clearly not of his right mind. In which case, how can it be sexual assault if you don't really know what you're doing because you're so dumb? I feel like the main I'm not a girl yet. I'm not a girl, so I don't know what it's like, but I would assume that sexual assault and assault is not about, like, getting hurt, because, right, you're not hurt. It didn't hurt how bad that man squeezed you. It's about how it makes you feel, which makes you feel threatened, I think, right? So if you're being Copperfield by a guy who could probably, like, beat you up, it's like, oh, man, I'm scared and threatened. But if you're being Copperfield by a 93-year-old, you're just like, oh, that's gross. But you're not being threatened, really. Now, I do a lot of things that I go, ooh, that's gross, right? Sometimes someone real fat is walking around downtown with no shirt, and I go, ooh, that's gross, assault. So I don't know. I think we got to think about this a little bit more. Like, what counts as assault? And why does it count that way? Because you're not really getting hurt. I'm not trying to minimize it. Oh, great. Nobody reversed this audio. So anyway. Well, he's out of his mind and he's Coppa feeling it up. All right, this is big news this week. The San Juan mayor calls for canceling the alarming contract for Puerto Rican power repairs.
Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico. Three-quarters of the island remains without power still. Now a small company has been awarded the largest government contract to rebuild the power grid there. But Congress has a lot of questions as residents continue to struggle. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has the latest.
Or we can do, like, tuna.
In old San Juan, Juan Ruiz is struggling to prepare meals for...
His name is Juan and he lives in San Juan? I don't think so. Fake news.
A neighborhood desperate for power.
So we have many cases that they told us, like, this is the first food I'm having today. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Now, the largest contract awarded to rebuild Puerto Rico's crippled power grid is under scrutiny. Up to $300 million for a Montana-based company, Whitefish Energy, just 2 years old, with only 2 full-time employees when...
All right, so people are mad at this. I'm interested in this story because it keeps going either way. Like, 3 days ago, the consensus was that this was a complete scam. This is corruption. They have given a $300 million employee to a company with only 2 employees. Wait, did I say $300 million contract to a company with 2 employees?
Contract in Puerto Rico? Well, just 2 at a company in northwest Montana. That unlikely answer is now puzzling many in Washington.
This is our mobile command center that we brought down for the storm.
Whitefish Energy Holdings is just 2 years old and had just 2 staffers when Hurricane Maria struck Puerto Rico last month. Yet, on September 26, it was awarded a contract worth up to $300 million to rebuild part of the island's decimated power grid. The company now...
All right. Long story short, The $300 million contract awarded to Whitefish Energy, a small Montana utility company hired, is now under several government reviews after being mired in controversy. So people saw this, like, $300 million to this weird two-person company called Whitefish Energy? Why is that? And it's like, well, how are only two people going to fix all of the power in Puerto Rico? No. They use what are called contractors. And then people go, contractors? But look at the rates they're charging. They're charging like $260 an hour per contractor against the thing. That's crazy. They're probably laundering this money and blah, 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 blah. It's like, probably. But the other thing they could be doing is saying, oh, these are power workers, right? They have to go to Puerto Rico. They have to work on the power in Puerto Rico where everyone's name is Juan. How hard could it be to work somewhere where it's like, hey, Juan? And then everyone's like, what? No, I don't know, the other one. I don't remember your name. The other name. So, now, if you're an electrician and you've got to go to Puerto Rico and you've got to work on electricity, you might die from malaria, right? They have malaria there. You might die from Juan. You might die from electricity. You might die from another hurricane. How many per hour do you want? Probably a lot. Probably at least 150. And you're just the contractor, so that's your pocket money. And then there's has to be more on top of that that supports the actual company. The other thing is that Puerto Rico is apparently notoriously behind on a lot of different bills. So there's a $300 million contract. But when the contract is written to this company, Whitefish Energy, they don't go, ah, $300 million, here you go. They go, no, this is a contract for $300 million. Maybe, I think there was $3 million up front. And then after that, it's like, okay, well, the rest is in a contract, and we'll pay as you work. But if they get behind on bills, now all of a sudden you've put a lot of risk into helping Puerto Rico when they might not pay. Now, the other idea is that hopefully the money is coming from the federal government, right? A White House spokesman told CNN the decision to give the contract to Whitefish was made exclusively by PREPA, P-R-E-P-A. The White House is not aware of any federal involvement in the selection. Oh, that must be Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico Electric something something. In a letter, the Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security, Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rosella, requested that the government oversight agency complete its review of the Whitefish contract by October 30th. So again, the San Juan mayor calls for canceling the alarming contract with Puerto Rico.
Maria made landfall.
This doesn't pass the smell test. I mean, Whitefish has received really, really, really fishy contract here.
Whitefish Montana has...
And this happened a little bit ago where this mayor or this governor, I don't remember who it was, of Puerto Rico said, look at us. We are dying out here and President Trump will not help us. I cannot believe it. We're so dying. We're dying. And then everyone goes, oh, my goodness. Look. Look at this lady. She's trying to help her people. She's a politician, too, you idiots. She has every incentive to make Trump look bad. And Trump has every incentive to make her look bad. That doesn't make one of them wrong and one of them right. It just makes that whoever's team you're on, you're going to be like, oh, that guy's or that girl's the right one. She says the contract should be voided right away in a proper process, which is clear, transparent, legal, moral, and ethical should take place. So if you go to Whitefish Energy's Twitter, it's hard to see what they're doing. Like, Whitefish Energy Twitter. I don't mean it's hard to see what they're doing, but it's hard to understand, like why are they posting what they're posting, right? So one thing that they posted that was really funny, and this got taken down, that Carmen Yulin Cruz, I think this is the mayor, right? Yep, posted on Twitter. If Whitefish Energy feels that asking for transparency is misplaced, what are they afraid we will find? She's Twittering, tagging Whitefish Energy, and asking them for more transparency in auditing their books. And Whitefish Energy replies, We've got 44 linemen rebuilding power lines in your city, and 40 more men just arrived. Do you want us to send them back or keep working? Question mark. So, they're mad. Now, if you go to their Twitter page, you can actually see that they post regular updates as to the progress in Puerto Rico. So let's take a video. Look at this video. Whoa, who's making this? They've got a real videographer on staff here. Like, with editing skills. Okay, to be honest, this is not that well edited. It's just a bunch of shots cut together with some music. But this takes work. Someone's doing this. Wow. Ooh, with a splash screen. I like Whitefish Energy now. I'm going to hire them to do my power. Making more and more progress, bringing power to hashtag Manati. Is that a city, I assume? Whitefish linemen completing work at Manati Towers.
Fish currently line foreman on this particular project. Been a lineman for...
See, that man speaks perfect English. He is not
8 years now.
Puerto Rican.
Oh, we're currently finishing up the 5100.
He flew to Puerto Rico, and I bet he's making hundreds per hour.
230 kV line that runs from Arecibo to Manati, the transmission center. Hopefully with that hot, we can get a lot of people's power back on. A lot of destruction up there. A couple structures toppled over by wind.
So there's the thing. So 3 days ago, the entire consensus was complete corruption. And as of yesterday, I was reading some more forums on this, and I don't switch forum. I'm not like, oh, I'm now on the Democrat forum, and now I'm on the Republican forum. Same forum. And now it's like, this mayor is just taking all her frustrations out on Trump through Twitter and doing nothing to help her people. She literally wants to cancel the contract of the people who are helping her. Now, the theory being that almost no electric company was taking the contract because they were so scared that Puerto Rico is not going to pay. Or even if they do pay, that it's going to be so much legal work to get them to pay that it's not even worth the risk. Why are we sending people over for $300 an hour when they might not pay the contract in the end? So Whitefish Energy got it. There it is. People think it's fishy. Is it? I don't know. Are they getting power back? Yes. Is it fast enough? Who knows? Everyone's like, Porter, how can a whole place be out of power for like a month? What the heck? I lost power and I was back in three hours. Yeah, you're in America where another company can drive to help you, right? If Florida gets destroyed by a hurricane, Georgia and Oregon's near Georgia, right, can drive and help. In Puerto Rico, it's like, hello? Is anyone out there? So, I don't know. Details emerge in the case of a man accused of dolphin mall bombing plot.
By setting off an explosive at the mall's food court.
But federal agents were able to put their own plot twists on his plan. And 7's Lorena Estrada live outside the mall in Sweetwater with more this morning. Lorena?
Well, according to the FBI, Vicente Solano actually wanted to attack Dolphin Mall on the popular Black Friday. For whatever reason, those plans changed and he tried to attack the mall sooner. This morning, we're also learning about his motive.
Solano appeared in federal court Monday accused of attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction. 7 News spoke to Heidi Rivas, who lives in the Sweetwater apartment complex where he lived. He was a decent guy to me. He was a decent guy, she said. When asked what it felt like to hear about Solano's alleged plans, she said, to me, it was a shock. Oh, very deep. Thank you for interviewing his neighbor.
Large, popular, packed with people describes Dolphin Mall. But the FBI says if Vicente Solano had his way, there could have been tragedy because he would have set up a bomb at the food court.
He was a decent guy. For me, he was a decent guy.
That's from a woman who lives...
There's the neighbor. What a crazy lady.
Coming from Solano's apartment at the 610 Northwest 109th address, he had not a thing to say about the 53-year-old who was in federal court in Miami on Monday, accused of attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction. The criminal complaint said Solano's initial idea was to strike on Black Friday, but his plans changed. He wanted to copy the deadly Boston Marathon bombing of 2013. According to the feds, he began mapping out his terror plot in late September. Unaware he was working with an informant and undercover agents while allegedly plotting this evil scheme.
Interesting. He intended to target on Black Friday, blah, blah, blah. The FBI reports that Solano expressed anger over foreign and domestic policies that made him feel excluded because of his temporary immigration status. The FBI cites a recording that they said was created by Solano wearing all black and standing by an ISIS flag. Where do you get these ISIS flags? Do you have to make one? Or do you walk down to the flea market and it's like, eggs, tomatoes, and ISIS flags. Can you get one on Amazon? Someone check, please. I feel like if you get it, all we have to do to catch terrorists is just track the flow of ISIS flags. Who's buying these and putting them up and making videos? ISIS flag? Webcam and all black clothing. Standing by an ISIS flag in a video in which he said the racist president who is a supremacist white who does not like blacks, does not like the Chinese, he does not like the Muslims, he does not like the Hispanics, he does not like anybody. They are indeed murderers, genocidists, invaders of this country who come to this country to kill all the Indians. They abolished them and now they're telling... Okay, so Trump was with Christopher Columbus apparently. And he called them Indians. They abolished them. He called them Indians. Oh, yeah, what the heck? He's a racist. They abolished them, and now they're leaving us, telling us to get out of here. They are the ones who have to leave. F that. In the name of Allah and our leader, Abu, we are going to defeat you. The FBI worked with Sweetwater Police on the day of the arrest. Local officers were aware of the investigation and were prepared to assist. This was an operation carried out by the FBI, said the police chief. They did a phenomenal job that ended in the arrest of a potential terrorist who was out to do severe harm to individuals and residents in the mall. He remains in custody. So there's no info necessarily onto how he came in touch with the FBI person, right? I don't think they give away a lot of details about this because they don't want people to know how it is. But it's like, okay, is he in a chat room going, hello? Does anybody else want to bomb the mall? And then the FBI writes back, yes, I do. And I have a pressure cooker. It's spare. I got it at the flea market next to the ISIS flags. Oh, my God. It's not illegal to sell ISIS flags and pressure cookers. What the heck? Chat says, Abu is a character from The Simpsons, right? That's what I almost made that same joke as we were reading. So anyway, he was working with... working with the FBI, and then they're like, here's a bomb, go plant this. And so he plants it, and they're like, ha-ha, that was a fake bomb, you're under arrest. Teacher tells kids that soldiers fight for them to speak American and not Spanish. Here's the video.
Military men and women fighting are not fighting for your right to speak Spanish, they're fighting for your right to speak American. Leave, be disrespectful, that
should not be disrespectful. So she's an English teacher. She's in school, and this kid starts recording on his smartphone that the lady's going on some rant about the soldiers. They're probably having a protest. They're probably having a, well, I guess they're not having an argument about the flag because they're really having an argument about language. So there's Hispanics in this school, and probably some of them started speaking Spanish. And she says, stop speaking Spanish. You have to speak American.
Military men and women fighting are not fighting for your right to speak Spanish. They're fighting for your right to speak American. Leave, be disrespectful, that should not be disrespectful.
They get mad. They start walking out. And then, so they got all mad. Now, this lady's an idiot, right? First of all, any teacher with an opinion, shut up. Teach English and Spanish. No, teach English if you're an English teacher and don't be like, you're right to speak American. Wait, why would she be an English teacher? I'm pretty sure she is. Anyway, Cliffside Park High gives 37 students detention after a protest over the Speak American video. The Cliffside Park School District says 37 students are scheduled to report to detention on Saturday days after dozens of teens walked out of class to protest the Speak American lecture. So this is not the video. This is not the incident on the video. I mean, it is the incident on the video. What am I saying? They walked out in the video, but there was a separate walkout.
Honestly, it's not the first time I've heard people say smirk comments before about that. I've personally dealt with that myself, but we've brushed it off. But at this point, now that she got caught on video, it's a major deal. But it's a situation that's always been happening, and it honestly, it's really disappointing, especially a teacher, an English teacher, with a full classroom of Hispanics saying that. It just really doesn't help the situation at all. It could have really been avoided.
On Monday, at least 50 students, some wearing or waving flags, including those of Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, and Brazil, walked out of classes and gathered on the steps in the front of the high school during the fourth period of the school day. So they're staging one of those old-style walkouts. I love these. Yeah, sure. Bond together. Do your walkout. Your kids, right? You learn that protesting is fine. It's cool. And that there are power in numbers. I suppose that these are all good things to learn, right? Mostly, every student here is basically from another country. Wow, what a horrible... Man, I would hate to be in that school. The protesters said they'd been warned that those who walked out would be suspended and that some students who had walked out had already been given suspensions, although they could not be confirmed on Monday. Student Council President Clayton Drew said the principal had told him that any punishment has yet to be determined. On Monday evening, the Board of Education held a special meeting in closed session. The superintendent declined to provide details about the nearly hour-and-a-half meeting. So, that's it. Some lady said something crazy, right? And then they said, oh, here's an excuse to walk out of class. Which, is it an excuse? Maybe they should they fire the teacher? Okay, let's think about this. She said something dumb. No, they should not fire her. They should reprimand her. They should say, you can't be yelling at Hispanics to speak American, especially since American's not a language. I mean, I suppose it is a language if you say, okay, the way we talk without a British accent is American, I guess. I would believe that is a okay definition of how we speak. But whatever. Final story. Navy rescues two Americans and their dog who were lost at sea for months. A perilous journey for two Americans lost at sea for 5 months after their boat lost power in a Pacific Ocean storm has ended with the rescue of the women and their dogs. They saved our lives, said Jennifer. The pride and smiles we had when we saw the ship on the horizon was pure relief. Two women mariners adrift in the Pacific Ocean for 5 months endured 2 days of shark attacks on their sailboat and the major storms before being rescued. Still aboard their boat, Jennifer Appel and Natasha shared their harrowing... not still aboard their boat. Still aboard the USS Ashland, which must have been the one that rescued them. On May 3rd, Appel, an experienced sailor, and Fuiva, a sailing novice, set sail from Honolulu aboard a 50-foot sea nymph bound for Tahiti. Also aboard were the two dogs. Earlier in their voyage, they realized that a structural failure on their sailing mask would impact their voyage and limit their sailing to 4 to 5 knots. But soon after that, they endured an intense storm with hurricane winds and 25-foot waves, oh my goodness, that buffeted their sailboats for 2 days. The storm left their engine flooded, but they still attempted to sail Tahiti before they drifted westward in the Pacific. So began a 5-month journey across the Pacific that was at times depressing, reflective, and frightful. Prepared for a difficult voyage, the sailboat had been stocked with a year's worth of food and supplies. Ooh, that's good. They had seen recommended in a book. Oh, a book? I guess, like, where else are you going to learn? Like, YouTube? The sailboat also came equipped with water purifiers that got them enough for their ordeal. They were well-fed and nourished. The experience was very depressing and very helpless. You do what you can... And with what you have no other choice. You're alive, you're fed, you have water, the boys are happy, meaning the dogs, and there's love, and there's different sunrises and sunsets every day. And you're around for a reason, so you may as well use the time you have to do something beneficial. What? There were days where they were absolutely despaired that they would not ever be found. There's a true humility to wondering if today is your last day, if tonight is your last night. So it's like, okay, well, how did they know if they were going to be rescued or not? One night, a group of seven sharks, including five adults measuring 20 to 30 feet. Isn't that funny? He's like, we're being attacked by sharks. Okay, how many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, how many are adults? 5. One night, a group of seven sharks, including five adults measuring 20 to 30 feet in length, along with two young sharks, slapped their tails on the hull repeatedly. Slapped their tails? Is that what sharks do? I'm gonna play some sailboat drum. I'm gonna play some sailboat drum with my tail. Appel speculated that the adult sharks were teaching the young sharks how to attack. Quick, feed them the dogs to appease them. The next morning, five dolphins appeared alongside the ship to say hello and to determine they believed to see if they were alive. So they're like, what? Dolphins are not friends. Are they friends? Maybe dolphins are friends. Maybe the dolphins are under the sea going, ah, there's some humans up there and their sharks are attacking. Let's go check on them. So let's see. Lost and off course, they said they began issuing distress calls every day for 2 months into their journey, but they were not close enough to other ships to be heard. So they're radioing SOS, Mayday, April Day, whatever. A Taiwanese fishing boat that finally discovered them Tuesday, 900 miles southeast of Japan and thousands of miles from Tahiti. The crew contacted the U.S. Coast Guard at Guam. Oh, sweet. Help arrived Wednesday morning in the form of the U.S. boat. And their battered boat was determined to be unseaworthy. And so they, looks like they abandoned it, which happens a lot. So they survived because of their water purifiers and years worth of food. So an uplifting story. Lost at sea. Every day you wake up and you radio and go, hello? Yeah, there's nobody. I'd be so anxious. I'd be like, I'd be radioing 24/7, not just once a day. I guess they probably did it more than once per day, but it's still like, eh, here I am out, lost at sea. At least I got a lot of food, right? It's like, what happens? When do you start to ration your year's worth of food? Because if you rationed it, wouldn't it be like a year and a half worth of food? I've seen The Martian, so I know. All right, this has been News with Nick, so let's see if the chat's saying anything. American teachers have amazing work ethic because they organize detentions on Saturdays. Yeah, they probably get a detention overtime or something. Or it's, you know, teachers don't come into detention. They have specific detentioners that do that. It's not the janitor, but it's like the study hall monitor. You don't have to be a teacher to hold detention. You just have to be able to keep a room in check. All right, this has been News with Nick for October 27, 2017. Thanks for hanging out. Sorry about the phlegm. Sorry about the sickness. And we're going to head out. This has been the news. Go read those JFK docs or just head on over to your favorite JFK conspiracy site and see if they found anything. Can you but imagine being the weirdo who's like, huh, well, I got nothing to do. I guess I'll read these JFK docs all day. Some of them are handwritten. They're hard to read. And see if there's anything exciting going on. And there never is. Bye.